Let's go to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 47 this morning. Genesis chapter 47. Do want to say, while you turn there this morning, of course, the singing is this afternoon at the church at 2 o'clock, our annual Singspiration with the Primitive Quartet. And we do need some folks to stay behind after service and help us set up chairs throughout the auditorium. We usually have between 400 and 500 folks that come for the singing, so we run out of seats. So we do need to put out a lot of extra chairs, and so we need a lot of folks, if you would, to stay behind for just a few moments after the service and help us put out chairs along about every spot we can get them in anyway. But remember that, if you would. Genesis chapter 47, I'm going to read the first 12 verses. We'd ask you to stand this morning. Let's honor God's word. Good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. I appreciate Brother Hillary Wood filling in for us last Sunday morning and Brother Eddie Lewis on Wednesday night. I understand both those men did outstanding jobs. And I hope you enjoyed the Sunday night service with all the singing. I hope that was a blessing to you. And we're glad to be back home, but we did do some preaching while we was gone and had two people saved last week, and I praise God for that. And so I pray if you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I pray today be the day that you'd come to Jesus and by faith receive Him as your Savior this morning. Genesis chapter 47, verses 1 through 12, the Bible said, "Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, 'My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen.' And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, 'What is your occupation?' And they said unto Pharaoh, 'Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers.' They said moreover unto Pharaoh, 'For to sojourn in the land are we come. For thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen.' And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle.' And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, 'How old art thou?' And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, 'The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days, or have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage.' And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families." Let's pray. God, I thank you for these that are here today, Lord. What a beautiful crowd this morning, God. And Lord, just a beautiful day outside, warm and sunshine. And God, just to hear the singing, Lord. And thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for Sister Pansy singing this morning, God, and how you've blessed us through the words of that song. And God, I pray today that you might use us one more time, God, to preach. Lord, I thank you for everyone that has come to listen today, God. I pray, Lord, open our minds and our hearts. Make us attentive to your word today. God, I pray if there's someone here that's lost, God, I pray today before they leave, they'd be saved. Lord, if there's someone here that's backslidden today, God, I pray before they leave, they'd be restored. God, I pray if there's someone here that's weighted down and burdened, God, I pray today before they leave, they'd be relieved. And God, we'll just give you the praise and honor. Lord, I pray today, give us an anointing and unction. Hide us behind the cross. Lord, I want the people to see Jesus this morning. And God, we'll give you the glory for it all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. We find in our scripture that the whole family of Jacob had made the journey from Canaan. This included 70 direct descendants and other family members, together with all of their worldly goods and possessions. This powerful story towards the ends of Genesis tells us many things. It tells us that God fulfills His promises despite impossible human odds, that the covenant purposes of God will never be thwarted, And that unity, forgiveness, and restoration lie at the heart of God's saving grace. And in our passage today, we read about a meeting between Jacob and his sons and Pharaoh. Joseph had undertaken the diplomatic mission of his life to ensure that all went well in the meeting between the men who were most influential to him. Having prepared his brothers in advance, Joseph went ahead of them to announce formally to Pharaoh at the court that his family had arrived in Canaan. Pharaoh knew what was going on and had previously charged Joseph to bring his family to Egypt with no thought of their possessions. With royal authority, he had commanded that the best of Egypt should be made available to the family of the man who had single-handedly saved Egypt from the terrors of the famine. However, Joseph had several concerns. First, would Pharaoh accept the common shepherd community of his brothers, given the dislike of the herders and the cattle hands among the Egyptian upper classes? Secondly, would he manage to engineer the settlement of his family in this favored region of Goshen, which was on the northeast border of Egypt? It was also the shortest route back to the land of Canaan. And thirdly, would the entire family, which was a sizable group of people, be accepted in Egypt at a time of drought and famine? And contrary to Pharaoh's orders, they had brought everything with them when they came. If you remember, Pharaoh told them, regard not your stuff. Now, Egypt was going through a famine, and here was immigrants coming in, not unlike what you and I see today, rushing through the borders of this country trying to find a better place to live. And so many people are squawking about our immigration situation because it's taking jobs, it's taking health care, it's taking taxes, it's taking education, it's taking all these things. Well, folks, this was no different in the days of Egypt. Here we see Israelites crossing the border into Egypt as refugees and immigrants looking for a better place to live. Would they be accepted in that nation? But yet Joseph didn't have to worry, because he had attempted to ensure his brothers used proper protocol there before Pharaoh so that the request would be heard. And as soon as Pharaoh met the family, he agreed to the requests that were made to him. And although he talked to Joseph only and not directly to the brothers, the meeting went well. And the Bible says that Pharaoh even offered a bonus to give the men jobs if they had the ability to work. So finally, between the meeting of Pharaoh and Jacob, it went remarkably well. And Pharaoh showed respect for the age of Jacob. And Jacob acted with the proper decorum towards Pharaoh. Now, you say, that all sounds good. What in the world does that mean to us today? Well, see, likewise, you and I today are on a journey. And we're journeying to a land that God has prepared for us. But in order for us to reach that land and settle in that place, we have to come into agreement with the king. And that's exactly what Joseph had to make happen in order for Jacob and all of these boys and all of their family and all their goods and all their cattle and all this other stuff, in order for them to find a place to lodge there in Egypt and live there for a time, they were going to have to come into agreement with the king, who was Pharaoh. Folks, can I tell you today that you're not going to get to heaven unless you do it God's way? You're not going to make heaven your home unless you come into agreement with this. Because the Bible says in the book of Amos chapter 3, I believe it's in verse number 2, he said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can you walk together in fellowship and in unity with the Holy Ghost of God if you're not in agreement with what the Word of God says? It can't happen, folks. So in order for us to make heaven our home, we have to come into agreement with the king. And just as Joseph's family did, we also must do the same thing. So by the help of the Lord this morning, for just a few moments, I want to preach a little message simply entitled, Standing Before the King. There's coming a day, guys, ladies and gentlemen alike, boys and girls alike need to understand this. There's coming a day when all of us are going to stand before the King. Every one of us. And we're going to give an account, the Bible says, of the deeds that were done in the body of flesh. The lives that we live down here, we are going to give full account to God when we stand before Him in glory. And we're all going to stand before God. There is coming a day that's appointed for man, for all men, that we are to die. But death doesn't end it, because after this, the Bible says, is the judgment. So we're going to stand before the King of Kings and be judged based, number one, on whether or not we're saved, whether the blood of Jesus has been applied to our lives, whether we've been born again by the Spirit of God. Secondly, as children of God, we're going to be judged according to the works that we've done in this life, whether they be good or whether they be bad, and we'll be rewarded accordingly, the Bible teaches. But now, in order for us to stand before the King, we've got to know some things. Because, see, in order for you and I to stand before the King of Kings, we need to understand some things, just as Joseph and the boys had to understand some things. The first thing I want you to see this morning is in verses 1 and 2. I'm going to go through this as quick as I can this morning to get us out of here, but I want you to follow real closely with me. All right? Don't think ahead to 2 o'clock yet. Just think about what the Word of God says right now. Number one, their presentation was assured. Their presentation was assured. The Bible says this in verse number 1, Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers and their flocks, their herds, all they have, they come out of the land of Canaan, they're in the land of Goshen." Verse 2, he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, presented them unto Pharaoh. But can I tell you that because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary, our presentation before the Father is assured. But see, here's why it was assured. When Joseph went before Pharaoh to present these men before him, he did it in two different ways. Number one, he made the king aware of their sacrifice. He made the king aware of their sacrifice. In verse 1, he said, "My father, my brethren, their flocks, their herds, all that they have come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." Folks, that was a great sacrifice that they had to do. Now, I know Pharaoh said, "Regard not your stuff." I know Pharaoh said, "Don't bring anything with you." But you know what they did? They got it all. They took everything they had. All 70 of them's going with all these flocks, all these herds, everything. They uprooted it all so that they could come to the land where they could be provided for. Church, let me tell you something. If you and I are ever going to make heaven our home, we've got to uproot from this world. We've got to uproot and make sacrifice. We've got to give it all up. We cannot take the world to heaven with us. We must give it all up. And folks, let me tell you something. They made a great sacrifice. You think of the sacrifice they had to make to get all that up. They didn't have a Winnebago RV out there they could load it all up in. They didn't call U-Haul and say, "Bring us a truck." They had wagon trains and they had herds and flocks and all these things. And that was a great sacrifice to uproot it all. Can I ask you a question? If God would call you to uproot it all, would you give it all up for Him? Because see, Joseph made the king aware of their sacrifice. And you know, when you and I stand before God, Jesus Christ is making God aware of the sacrifices we make in this life. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We know that Jesus Christ stands and he makes intercession for every one of the believers. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name." God remembers it all because Jesus Christ makes Him aware of everything we do. And not only did He make the king aware of their sacrifice, He made the king aware of their surrender. Verse 2, the Bible says Joseph presents 5 of his brothers before Pharaoh for one purpose. Can we live in Goshen? They were absolutely submissive to the decision of the king. Church, we need to get that in our spirits today. It's not about my way. It's not even about what I want. It's not about these things. It's all about what the King decides. And let me tell you something. If you're going to go to heaven this morning, you're not going to get there any other way until you become submissive to the decision of the King. Let me say that again. You're not going to get to heaven until you become submissive to the decision of the King. The only way they were going to get out of the land of famine, the only way they were going to leave that old mess behind and get into the land of plenty, get into the land where they could be taken care of, get into a place where they could be fed and supported, the only way they were going to do it, they weren't going to force themselves in. They weren't going to barter themselves in. They didn't have nothing to trade. They didn't have nothing to give. You and I have nothing to give God that would allow us into heaven. All our righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says. We have nothing to offer this King. But oh, aren't you glad that grace is so much better? Because let me tell you something, we don't have anything to offer Him, but Jesus has everything to give. Oh, it's by grace that ye are saved through faith. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You have nothing in your hands that makes you worthy to enter into that place, and you are completely reliant upon the decision of the King. And folks, let me tell you something. Joseph made sure their presentation was assured. And if you'll come to Jesus by faith and believe upon Him for your salvation, then you can understand that one day your presentation before the King will be assured. Folks, their presentation was assured. And secondly, their preparation was accomplished. Let me ask you something real simple. Not very theologically deep or anything, but just something real simple. Are you preparing to go to heaven? Are you, in the life that you're living down here, does it tell me or anybody else, but most of all, does it tell God that you're making preparation to get to heaven? Hey, these boys made preparation to get to the land of Goshen. These boys made preparation. You say, what did they do? Well, let me show you. Number one, they maintained their integrity. They maintained their, they didn't sell out. I wonder how many people they sold out. They didn't sell out. See, go back with me. Go back real fast. I got to rush, but go back real fast. Genesis 46. Look at the last few verses of the chapter. Last few verses of the chapter. Joseph's got a plan. He says, here's how we're getting in. The Bible says, Joseph said unto his brethren in verse 31 of chapter 46, he said, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house which were in the land of Canaan are coming to me, and the men are shepherds, for their trade have been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and herds and all that had. Now, Joseph knew that he had the ear of Pharaoh. Joseph knew he had Pharaoh's favor. So it wasn't much for him to come up to Pharaoh and say, now these guys that are going to come are shepherds. I know you don't like shepherds, but I want you to help me out here, Pharaoh. These guys that are coming are shepherds. And then the Bible says there, in a little bit further, in verse 33, he looks to his brothers and he says, now here's what I want you to do. It shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? Don't you tell him you're shepherds, he says. Don't tell him you're shepherds. He said that ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even unto now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. Why? For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. He says, now I've told him ahead of time y'all are in the shepherding business, but when he asks you point blank who you are, don't you tell him that you're shepherds. You tell him you're about cattle, because these guys around here hate shepherds. Verse 3. Chapter 47. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, meaning Joseph's brethren, what is your occupation? And they said, and they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds. They said, we don't care where it will take us if we lie. We ain't lying. Boy, it got quiet on that one. Glory, God makes me wonder. Hey, he said, we ain't selling out. If it takes lying to get to this place, we don't want to go.
If it takes lying and selling out and falsely doing these things, deception and all this other stuff, we don't want to be a part of it. Can I tell you that? If you're going to make heaven your home, you've got to walk in integrity. How many folks have lied to try to get the leg up? How many folks have sold out in order to prosper? How many folks have done these things in order to stay out of trouble or whatever the case is? Folks, you can't never go wrong if you live according to the truth. In 3 John, in the 4th verse, the Apostle John said this, and listen to what he said right here. You think in your life, what brings you joy? What brings you joy? You know, I don't know what it might be, but you know what? When you see things happening around you, there's all different kinds of things that bring you joy. I want to show you what the apostle said that brings him joy. He said, "I have no greater joy." Listen, he says, this is top of the ladder right here. He says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." He didn't say they made to the top of the ladder. He said, my greatest joy that I have in my life is to know that I've got children that's walking in integrity. Glory to God. Parents, let me tell you something. Raise your children up that they walk in integrity. They are to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They maintained their integrity. Look how else they prepared. They recognized their stopover was just temporary. Now, this one caught me as I studied it. I blew right by it 3 or 4 times, and then all of a sudden it caught me. But they recognized their stay was just temporary. He said in verse number 3, he said, we're shepherds. And verse 4, they said, moreover unto Pharaoh. Here's what we want, Pharaoh. We're just passing through. He said, for to sojourn in the land we are come. You know what a sojourn is? A sojourn is a temporary stay. We're going to come, set up, play house for a while. But after a little while, we're getting out of here. Glory to God. Church, let me tell you something. You won't make it to heaven if you got your anchors in down here. You won't make it to heaven if you're hanging on to this stuff and say, I can't never leave it behind. Hey, let me tell you something. You didn't bring anything into this world. And Paul said, it's of a certainty you ain't taking nothing out either. So give up on what you're connected to down here and begin to look skyward, because you're just in this thing for a little while. You ain't going to be here forever. Your life is but a vapor here for a little while. Vanishes away. But aren't you ready for the day that one day God is going to take you home? I'm glad this ain't the end for me. I don't want to live down here forever. He said, we just come passing through. If I'm going to make heaven, brother, I've got to understand I'm just passing through this way. Hey, there's an old song in the hymn book saying, this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I tell you, lay up for yourself treasures up there and you'll get them one day. Lay them up down here, you'll lose them all. I tell you, I like that deal a whole lot better, don't you? Hey, they realized that their stopover is just temporary. So they maintained their integrity. They recognized the stop was just temporary. And then thirdly, they kept focused on the goal. They kept focused on the goal. See, if you're going to make heaven your home, you can't serve God today, fall out for 3 months, and then come back again. Fall out, come back, fall out, come back, in, out, over here, over there, and all this. Let me tell you something, you've got to stay focused. You need to keep focused on the goal. Paul said, hey, he said, I'm leaving. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. He said, I've not attained unto perfection yet. He said, but this one thing I do. He says, there's one thing I know I've got right. I never lost my focus. He said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, let me tell you something. Keep your focus skyward. Keep your focus on the cross. Keep your focus on a soon coming King. Don't fall out tomorrow. Don't let somebody topple your wagon over. You stay firm. Be not children tossed to and fro about with every wind and weight of doctrine, but stand on the Word of God. Stand on the promise of eternity. Stand on the blood of Jesus, and you will make it home. See, the Bible says in verse 4, they said, we're just sojourning. He said, now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. He said, there's a reason we sacrificed everything. There's a reason we got up and left Canaan. There's a reason we got up and left all that behind. Because we had a goal. And our goal was to lodge here in Goshen. Folks, they didn't go part of the way and all of a sudden take a detour and go somewhere else. Boy, to God for Christians like that. They didn't go part of the way serving God and let something detour them out the side. But let me tell you something. They went on that ancient map quest. Typed that thing in, got it loaded into the GPS, and they learned the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Don't you know that's why God said this path is straight and narrow? He don't want you waffling around all over the place. He said the quickest way to get to heaven is to walk a straight line. They said our goal is to get to Goshen. We ain't letting anything deter us. We're not turning to the right. We're not turning to the left. We ain't letting anybody stop us neither. We're going to take the whole bunch with us when we go. Glory to God, I want to see some Christians like that. They kept focused on their goal. And not only did they focus on their goal, but also they continued to worship the King. They continued to worship the King. Now, I blew by this one a few times too, but boy, I like it once I got it. Verse 7. I believe it's verse 7. There was the first meeting here between Jacob and Pharaoh. And they haven't yet, Jacob hasn't yet known he's been promised to stay in Goshen. Now, verse number 6, Pharaoh tells him he can stay, but Jacob doesn't know this yet. And in verse number 7, Jacob goes before Pharaoh, not knowing. Now he just learned that his son was still alive after 22 years of being separated from him. 22 years of misery and agony thinking that boy was dead. On top of that, he had to fight years of famine. And because the famine was so bad, he had to leave everything he's ever known. He had to leave all of his home behind. He had to leave his entire nation behind. He had to leave everything behind. And he had to go and, in essence, become a refugee beggar asking Pharaoh if he could stay in Egypt. And you know what? When he came unto Pharaoh, the Bible says he blessed Pharaoh. That didn't sound like somebody disgruntled by the trials of life, does it? That didn't sound like somebody that had been stomped down by the devil and couldn't get up. Because see, before he ever got anything from the King, he blessed the King for who he was. We're quick to praise God when we get something good. We're quick to praise God when we realize He's there. And He's fighting on our side. And He's going for our behalf. But I wonder when the last time we just decided to get along with God and just say, God, I want to praise You for who You are. Glory to God, Your majesty. Glory to God, the glory of the train of Your robe fills the temple. God, I just love You for who You are. Glory, You created all the world with the power of Your spoken word. You breathed life into my body. Lord, I just thank You for who You are. Boy, you get along with God, just begin to thank Him for who He is. And I believe He's a little more likely to bless you again when you need something. You say, I don't know about that, preacher. Go down just a little bit further. There's a second time. I believe it's verse 10. You look in there and make sure I'm right. But now Pharaoh has given Joseph what he's asked for. Pharaoh's given Jacob what he's asked for. Pharaoh's given all them boys now what they've asked for. Yes, you can stay in Egypt. I ain't gonna let you starve. I'll take care of you. And I'm not only give you something out there in the ghetto that's left over. He said, I'll give you the best that Egypt has. When he got done, he blessed him again. Glory to God. Folks, I just believe we ought to be a blessing people, don't you? See, the Bible said, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. See, the first verse of Psalm 103 is blessing God for just who He is. He didn't have to do a thing for you. But He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. I ain't holding anything back. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Just bless Him for who He is. Verse number 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. The first verse, I bless Him just for who He is. The second verse, I bless Him for what He's done for me. But let me tell you, before you ever bless Him for what He's done for you, you need to turn back around, start back over, and just bless Him for who He is. He still is the great I am. He still sits on the circle of the earth. He still causes the sun to rise and the sun to set. He still causes the waters to come forward, but only go so far and they have to recede again. He's still the one that gives you life. He's still the one that gives you hope. He's still the one that sent His only begotten Son. He is holy. He is pure. Glory to God, I love Him this morning. See, that'll prepare you for heaven right there. And then, they not only continued to worship the King, they persevered through every trial. See, to make preparation to get to heaven, you've got to persevere through every trial. Pharaoh looks at Jacob, says, Jacob, how old are you? He says, I'm 130 years old. That's old, ain't it? Of course, that still ain't up there with Methuselah, but that's old. He's 130 years old. And he looks over at Pharaoh, and he says, Pharaoh, he says, all the days of my life, I've dealt with evil. All the days of my life, I've dealt with problems. And I haven't even lived as long as my father lived and my grandfather lived. And all those ones that came before me, I've not even lived as long as they have, but I've seen more trouble in my life than all of them. I wonder if that might not be the case with somebody here today. That you'd have to say, you know what, preacher, my life's just not been easy. I've had problems. I've had trials. And I'm only such and such years old. I'm not even as old as the guy on the other side of the pew there from me. I'm not even as old as the sister that came up and sang today. But I've seen more trouble than all of them put together. I wonder if that might be you today. But I want you to know, God's preparing you for a better place. I want you to know, keep your head skyward. I want you to know it ain't always going to be like that. I want you to know that God's going to get you through it if you'll trust in Him. If you'll persevere, God will lead the way for you. There may be more trials. I'm not going to tell you there won't be no more trials. I'm not going to tell you that your life is going to be a bed of roses. I'm not going to tell you it may be awful the rest of the way. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, Jacob, even though he went through 130 years of evil and affliction, still landed at the goal. He persevered. Are you prepared for heaven? Are you preparing to go there? Are you persevering? See, those that persevere, they build their house on a rock because they understand storms come. You know, there's a storm right now going in the Gulf of Mexico. And what they're showing is it's going to circle around. Looks like it's going to start head right for New Orleans area, but then it's going to circle around. It's going to hit up around Pensacola, Panama Beach, and all that area. Don't know how strong it's going to be when it hits. May not hit. I don't know. But you know what? I'll tell you one thing about them Florida houses down there. They build them to withstand hurricanes. Because they know living down there around that Gulf and that Atlantic Ocean, there's a good likelihood, may not come this year, may not come next year, but there's a good likelihood one of them's going to come. And we better be prepared for it. Can I just tell you, church, there's a good likelihood storms are going to come your way. Might as well get yourself prepared for it. Jacob did. Let me look at this very last thing. I'm done. See, their preparation was accomplished. Their presentation was assured. And then thirdly and finally, their prize was accepted. Their prize was accepted. Now they did everything they needed to do to reach their goal. So Pharaoh rewards them. And church, let me tell you something. You trust in Christ as your Savior. You hang on with everything you've got. Which, by the way, it ain't you hanging on to Him anyway. If you ever hang on to Him, it's because He gave you the ability to hang on to Him. But I've heard people say this. Now, before you get to amen and too much, let me tell you this. Some of you stop when I say this. I've heard people say, well, it ain't about you hanging on, it's about God hanging on to you. Let me tell you something. The Bible does teach those that make shipwreck of their faith and they let go of God. Now, listen. Their prize was accepted. It certainly is God giving you the ability. It certainly is God giving you the power to do all things. But let me tell you something. The choice is yours whether you make it to heaven or not. God ain't gonna drag you into heaven kicking and screaming if you don't want to go. If you want to let go and go fall out in the world, you want to let go and do your own thing, you want to let go and live like the devil, he'll put you right down there where the devil's at. He's not going to take you to heaven against your will. God's a gentleman. When I get to heaven, I'm going to accept what God gives me. Glory, I like it because I want something to lay down at His feet, don't you? Glory, see, He accepted the possession. Those boys accepted the possession. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. He gave them a possession in the land, the Bible says. John said, behold, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's going to give you your possession. I don't know about you, but I want to take it, don't you? I'm not leaving it behind. I'm going to take the possession. And not only possession, but also He gave them the prize of power. Because He said, now guys, He says, you can come in and live in the land of Goshen. He said, but now if there's any men of activity there that can take care of these things, take care of cattle, he said, then put them to work. He said, I'll make them rulers over this stuff. See, give them power. Boy, I'm just waiting for the day I can hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come. He said, I'll make thee ruler over many things. See, heaven ain't a place where I just go back and say, whew, it's all over. Praise God. I'm going to sit here, kick back, live forever. Woo! Folks, if that's heaven, I got a recliner at home. I can do that now. But see, heaven's a place of activity. Heaven's a place where people are going to have jobs. That scares some people to death, won't it? Call it a job. Heaven's a place where some people are going to have jobs. He said, because He'll make them ruler over many things. Boy, I'm glad I'll be a place where I'll have power. Glory to God. Last thing is this right here. Aren't you glad you're on your way to heaven? Hey, not only do they get power, possession, they get provision. Verse 12, Joseph nourished his father, his brethren, and all his father's household with bread according to their families. Can I just tell you, heaven is going to be a place where you'll have eternal provision. Well, I'm glad. Let me ask you something, though. Let me ask you something. Again, this will be real, real simple. Have you made preparation to go? Have you made preparation to go to heaven? He said, preacher, what I need to do? Come to Jesus. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you'll confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Folks, that's preparation. And once you get saved, God's Holy Spirit takes His place in your life and leads you in holiness, leads you in righteousness, leads you to walk a life where you maintain your integrity. Then you can one day stand before God. And when God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you can receive all the prizes that He wants you to have. Oh, but let me tell you something. It takes sacrificing the things of this world. It takes getting up and leaving all that you've known behind. And it takes coming to Jesus by faith, putting it all aside and say, Jesus, even if I have nothing else, as long as I gain You, it's worth it. That's making preparation. If you've not made that preparation today, God desires for you to come. He loves you today. Would you stand?